So welcome back to this last module of Getting Started with Windows 10 for IT Professionals. This is module 8, the last one of the day. So thank you very much for having kept up with us for this time, and one more to go. And right now we're going to talk about Windows as a service. What does it mean for your business? And yes, we will address some misconceptions about what it means for Windows as a service. And Anthony will go a little bit more deeper into that about it. So why don't you get us started, Anthony?
Starting into that, we all know the world is changing. We all see now the scenarios of accessing information from a mobile device first before touching anything else. You wake up in the morning, roll over to your night table, grab your smartphone, check your email, check your Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you name it, and you go through information freely across a plethora of devices. And so
I am so getting that t-shirt made.
In that scenario, that means the way that you access said data has to also change. What we're hearing about is we're hearing about challenges in regards to what needs to be changed or what hasn't changed yet to adopt to the ability to gain secure access to that information in regards to upgrades that may break applications, in regards to not having sufficient time to test those upgrades, to working with key software vendors to ensure that their applications will support upgrades made available, to be more aware or to be notified in advance with regards to upgrades that are coming forth. There are so many different things that change the way that we use the devices in regards to upgrading of an OS, inclusion of a service pack. You know, what about the availability of agility to address the needs and concerns that IT professionals have when new updates are made available, and in enforcing control when these applications, or sorry, when these updates are made available for said OS? Do IT have the ability to say, hey, you know, I will allow this upgrade to happen, or I can't allow this upgrade to happen because of the fact that it hasn't been tested, it might break the application?
Well, I think all of these things put together brings up a point where IT has to be concerned about uptime and minimizing outages of any kind, and when the machine or the device that people are using is out of their environment, off premise or outside the guarded walls of the garden, that ensuring all these things equals a more resilient OS and a more resilient work environment, work and play environment.
Yep. Let's look at it from an end user perspective as well. If IT is slow to adopt to upgrades and changes and what have you, especially in this world of BYOD, you run into the scenario where you have tension between the end users and IT because of the fact that with IT moving so slowly, the users get frustrated because certain functionality that's made available in an upgrade is not available because IT is disallowing it. And then we have the dreaded shadow IT that appears. We mentioned it earlier. In essence, what shadow IT means is end users are taking it upon themselves to search out methodologies to circumvent what IT professionals are controlling. So maybe I do want to have that upgrade on my device because amidst that upgrade, there is a specific camera control functionality or something in my personal applications that would benefit from that upgrade, but IT is disallowing it. I'll search out a way to find out how to circumvent the controls that IT has implemented and try to deploy this on my own, which usually results in disastrous ramifications of security, stability, you name it.
It's not just the disastrous situation, but it's also the fact that eventually that app or that process or that server, and I've seen this countless of times in my numerous years. Yes, I know I'm older than you are. Where users end up with setting up, like they end up with a server, like a database server or an application server under somebody's desk.
Yep.
Because it was deployed or designed and to outside of regular IT control. But now more than one person are using it, a whole department may be using it, and then you inherit it. So now you have to support something that you had no control over the design.
Yep.
You don't know whether or not it's compliant or anything like that. So that's where that tension typically leads to.
Now, just to really quickly address in terms of shadow IT as well, you know, we talk about it being disastrous for an organization if not, you know, answered correctly or dealt with. But also know that shadow IT can be a positive in the fact that if done correctly through communication, an end user can relay that information to the IT group to say, here's a methodology that we find that may appease your security requirements to ensure that, hey, you know, best foot forward in deploying this application or upgrade. It requires conversations to occur, though, between IT and end users, which doesn't traditionally happen. And so, you know, shadow IT can be bad if, you know, not addressed, but if done properly, can be a huge advantage to any organization.
Yep.
So let's look at about Windows as a service, right? One of the misconceptions that I want to address right away is this whole notion that Windows as a service means that now, to use my client software, I have to pay a subscription. This is something that, you know, a question that's come up across Canada in the tour that we did in regards to, you know, why, if I now have this license, why am I going to be paying a monthly service fee to use my client computer or tablet or PC or mobile device, phones, whatever? This is not the case. You are not paying a subscription fee to use your client computer, your client OS, your Windows OS. You own that OS for the lifetime of that device that you've implemented it on. Let's get that out of the way right away. There is no subscription fee for Windows. If you own a Windows 7 license, a Windows 8 license, you upgrade for free to 10. If you don't own either of those licenses, you would have to purchase the license to go to 10, but then you own that license for the life of the computer. There is no fee for that. In regards to this and this capability, Windows as a service means the agility to address concerns in terms of upgrade capabilities of the OS. In the fact that we're now in a mobile-first world, that means that malicious intent happens a lot more frequently, and to address that, that means updates will come out a lot more frequently. We've heard the term Patch Tuesday, right? Patch Tuesday in Windows 10 is no more because patches and security updates and OS updates will come at a much quicker pace than previously at a time like Patch Tuesday to deploy. That means that devices will always be up to date, again, controlled by IT and enabled in a situation that IT will allow. That allowment happens on a BYOD, on a CYOD, choose your own device, and a company-owned scenario. This also means, in terms of the platform uniformity, that special systems that also support Windows 10, and we talked about the whole IoT aspect, will also receive those updates, again, managed by IT, but a lot more fluid than in past.
Yeah, but still in a very much controlled
correct
way.
And we'll talk about that in a second. That capability, you know, controlled through regular security updates and can be controlled with WSUS as well from the platform aspect, not just specifically from the device. So in the middle of this, you know, as the business user, you know, how do they take advantage of this, right? Why should the business users be treated any differently in terms of this capability to enable when updates are made available? So in a consumer devices scenario or a BYOD scenario, you know, the end user is deciding whether or not the update's going to happen or not. And possibly they don't test the update. It's just, hey, new functionality comes out for my device. I'm going to deploy it. I'm not really going to be concerned if it's going to break an application. I'll go talk to IT about that. In a special system scenario, you have this situation where I can't do the update because if I do it, it's going to break this application because there's going to be a compatibility issue. So how is that being addressed in terms of Windows as a service? So in essence, what's happening is that the control is being put into the IT professional's hands in regards to Windows Update for Business. And in a Windows Update for Business, it provides the IT professional not only the ability to plan for said updates, but given the time to test out those updates, either individually from an IT pro's perspective, or assigning a group of individuals, you know, as trusted advisors to say, yes, all the applications work, or no, here are the application breaks, and then report that back to IT.
It's the traditional pilot test or
correct.
Pilot group.
But it's expanding it beyond just IT. It's having the availability to say, hey, you know what? I have an admin lead that I've assigned per department to test out that upgrade before we deploy it company-wide.
Yes, and it's never a good idea to put somebody who is on the critical path of an application on that pilot group.
So let's look at the whole aspect of this, right? It's market-driven quality, and I'm going to run through the animations here. You can choose, you know, in regards to what you're going to do for the deployment of said update. In this scenario here, what we're looking at is, you know, in Windows 10 technical preview, we had the capability with regards to the insider preview so that people can go out and test Windows 10 today, technical preview, and take advantage of the updates. The scenario that we had, though, is we had a fast and slow ring that said, you know, on the fast ring, every time an update came out, automatically updated the machine. In a slow ring, it wouldn't adhere to every update. It would only do the ones that were deemed stable by Microsoft. And so this PC had less likely to have issues on that technical preview because we've seen it as stable.
Yep.
That same functionality is now coming to Windows Update for Business. In essence, what happens is it allows you to control when these updates are happening. So having, you know, possibly if you need to have updates on the fly and or you have certain individuals that are earmarked with updates on the fly because they're your trusted advisors to report back what's been, if anything has been broken, these individuals would be on the fast ring and they would automatically get those updates. If you have critical systems that cannot get updates immediately, you would put them on a much slower ring to ensure that you would go through thorough testing before they get those updates. This also addresses bandwidth needs. I've seen this before. You know, when you got machines that you want to deploy an OS update to, and you only have so much bandwidth in your organization, and you push the update to all the devices in one shot, what happens? You have a major slowdown, right?
Yep.
So in deploying it into rings, you can now mitigate that risk of eating up all your bandwidth to deploy updates. And you know, traditionally back in the day, you would have desktop computers and you would push it up overnight, right? You wouldn't do it during the daytime.
You'd walk over with the 5 1/4 diskette, you'd put it in and...
We had 5 1/4 diskettes? when did that happen? Did you park your dinosaur outside again?
Yeah, I know.
So the scenario that we have now is you have devices that are not on the desktop anymore because they take them home, right? Laptops, tablets, right? Yeah. And so if you wait for them to come back in to then do the update, that too can be a challenge because...
That machine is unprotected or could be subject to be compromised...
Correct.
...while it's waiting for the next time it connects to the network.
Correct. So you want to be a lot more agile in terms of providing those updates to those individuals that are mobile workers, which traditionally a lot of businesses are a lot now.
Mm-hmm.
So... Windows 10 update options, you know, there's three. The Windows Update, which is the traditional consumer one. Consumers on their devices can go out, download set updates. They can set it so it's automatically set to automatically update when an update comes. Or they have the control to say, you know what, notify me and I'll do the updates as I see fit. In the business, a Windows Update for Business scenario, you have the ability now to say, okay, I'm going to put you on a certain ring. And say you're either on the fast ring or the slow ring, depending on which ring I put you on, to get updates as required, or no ring, and I'll just push the updates as I see fit, you know, in conjunction with an MDM solution like Intune. And in the system update for services, so you have special systems that, you know, are critical to the organization, they cannot break, and you want to thoroughly test that update before you push it out to those systems.
Yeah, so emergency rooms.
Correctly.
Yeah, you don't want that to go down, to go offline.
100%. So let's look at the customer journey in terms of these systems. So currently right now, in terms of technical previews, we'll use this as the example, there's ongoing engineering that's going in the background in terms of the creation of Windows 10. Great activity that we're doing right now, asking for feedback, getting that feedback from the field in terms of what people would like to see. And then that's being brought forward through the Windows Insider preview scenario, where individuals are going out signing up for the insider preview, and then gaining access to the bits to start testing, and then provide that information back. Once we see general availability of Windows 10, now you have the activity where, perfect, so now here's the deployment with all the requests that were put forth through the technical preview now being deployed at wide scale for general availability for consumer. And then for business, up to the businesses as to the timing and to deployment of that new OS offering for a wide scale implementation at your business. This allows for the capability to do application compatibility testing to ensure that, you know, hey, you know what, hardware requirements have not changed. I still have the strong encryption security capability on my devices themselves as deployed. I have requirements for Internet Explorer 11 in an enterprise mode deployment to make sure that, you know, as we said, both the Edge browser and IE 11 will be available to run on Windows 10, and I may have to invoke that capability and ensure that that's not broken in future when future updates for even IE 11 come into play. Also, you know, ensuring that applications in the store are also compatible with my my deployment. We also have the capability of the wipe and load. So still an option for some scenarios where I have a device and you know what, I have to blow the device away because there's specific security requirements that require me to do so. I can have that capability in terms of the deployment or you know, in-place upgrade. So I'm gonna upgrade the device in terms, we're using the provisioning tools to save time for IT professionals to say, oh, you know what, I'm gonna save some time. I'm not gonna blow away the device. I'm gonna do the in-place upgrade to 10. And so my users are getting the best experience, their downtime is minimized, and my my time is increased in terms of doing other things.
Yeah, doing the fun things.
Doing the fun things. So with that said, you know, consumers can stay up to date with features as they see fit, and they have the control to do so in a BYOD scenario. Mission critical systems are also addressed in terms of slowing down the updates to ensure that, hey, let's make sure that there isn't a failure that's going to break down when we do that update. And business users get the best of both worlds because not only do they are they now more agile and get updates more frequently, they're also safeguarded by IT to ensure that those updates are not going to break the applications that matter most to them. So in essence, it's best of both worlds for the business user. So you have to consider the way that you're going to do this in terms of your deployment. We talked about this a little bit earlier. You want to be agile, but you also don't want to break the systems in place. Having designated individuals be your, you know, eyes and ears on that update to ensure that, hey, you know what? All the systems are running smoothly, didn't break a thing. Yeah, definitely recommend that you deploy this, you know, company-wide. Or maybe, hey, you know what? It's working in retail, but it's not working in finance, and it is working in HR. So finance might have to wait for that upgrade, but in retail and in HR, it would be an almost immediate upgrade. Mm-hmm. So let's look at the technical and licensing details made available. So in regards to the Insider Preview Branch, and this is the example that we're going to use, if you're on the Insider Preview Branch, you automatically get the updates for Windows 10. You then select if you're going to be on the fast or slow ring in terms of the amount of updates that you're going to get for your device. And that holds true on all devices, not just desktops and laptops. That's tablets and phones as well, mm-hmm. in terms of that. Then you have the scenario with the business update, Windows update for business, in terms of IT checks to make sure compatibility is good. And in this scenario here, we're talking about the quick ring, the fast ring. It's good, deploy. It's good, deploy. I get an update, it's good, deploy as a test to certain individuals that I've seen as trusted advisors to ensure that, yes, you know what, these updates are great. Do push them out.
So this is basically, like we said earlier, this is pilot group, which a lot of IT professionals have been doing for years.
Correct.
But now it's just built into the platform and built into the tools.
Yeah. Before you would need third-party tools or special tools
Or create a WSUS specific group and authorize the patches for that group and then have to go back and authorize patches for the next group.
Yep.
In this case, it's all taken care of.
And what's great about this is, again, a cross-platform. This is not just desktop, this is also phone, which is a huge advantage because we're in the age of ubiquitous computing now, right? And so, again, we want to alleviate time from IT professionals, not increase headache. In doing this, you're allowing for the ability to control when these updates go out and having individuals test prior to deployment. Once said test has been deployed, now you have the scenario where, okay, so now I'm going to start rolling this out to specific departments, specific groups that we know and have tested and say, yep, no issue. Here's the availability. Gain access to these updates. Hugely important because it's not being done with third-party software. It's being done natively in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the special systems. So, hey, you know what? We need a little bit more time to ensure that these mission critical systems will not gain those updates immediately because we have to do a lot of testing before we do that.
Yeah, we want to make sure it's critical to ensure that the delivery of services from those systems is not going to be impacted in any way.
Yep.
So that's what this process and this tools and this platform is made for.
Correct. So next steps, download Windows 10 Tech Preview today. If you haven't done so already, you know, we saw the demo in our intro. You can run Windows 10 in a virtual machine on Hyper-V on your Windows 7 or Windows 8.1 Pro.
Yeah,
machine to just start doing testing.
And like we said earlier too, that the hardware requirements have not changed.
No.
So if you have older machines that are sitting in your lab, you can take advantage of those and start testing those processes and how you're going to integrate all these tools into it.
And what a great way to test line of business applications without spinning up another machine and taking the time to create that.
Yep.
You know, to create a VM takes you what, 10, 15 minutes, not even? And then to set up your own environment on your machine itself, so on your admin machine, I'm spinning up that VM to test out that finance functionality or HR application-specific functionality doing a bare metal install on another machine, taking up time and resources.
Yeah, so the key here is test your in-place upgrades in the lab, test your line of business apps, with the preview and just get going on it. Sign up for the insider preview.
Yep.
And get your hands dirty. It's you're going to thank us for that.
So that's the end of our getting started with Windows 10 for the IT professional. We would thank you very much for taking the time for listening to our modules today and putting up with Pierre and I. During today's modules, we hope you find this entertaining. Pierre?
It's edutainment.
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 That's the new word we learned here.
That's right. We're doing edutainment. And there are numerous sessions at Ignite, at Build, that talk about Windows 10. There's going to be more and more blog articles on TechNet and on our platform on canitpro.net to talk about how this can all be done in a step-by-step or like technical demos. So keep your eye out, keep searching, keep looking at this stuff. TechNet is your friend, MSDN is your friend, and of course we'll hope to see you at our next recording. So keep looking.
They're gonna let us back?
Maybe, I don't know. But MVA is always full, Microsoft Virtual Academy is always full of great information.
Yes.
So take advantage of it, it's free. Do it at your own pace.
And feel free to comment at the bottom if there's something that we missed that you would like to see, and definitely include that in a future module.
Perfect. All right, with that being said, thank you very much. Have a great rest of the day.
Cheers.